My Dear Fiona by Frances Rosenfeld. Chapter 17, In the Beginning Was the Wave. I couldn't sleep, and neither could Denise. The sun woke us up when I had barely slept 3 hours. As for Denise, she had made up her sleep deficit during the day and now was sharp as a tack. We drove to the stones of Stennis with the rosy glow of dawn behind us. The midnight sun bathed our shoulders and put halos around our hair, and when we got out of the car in the middle of the wilderness, it compelled our silence. We walked in silence for a while through this fantastic landscape, where the stones felt like a natural land feature, like they'd been there forever, carved by the storms and the winds. Come on, Ethel, not fun being old, eh? I was born 2 years before Denise, a detail she never forgets to highlight when she deems it relevant. See you in 2 years, Denise. I'll remember to ask you then. This is awesome. My sister started running up the gentle slope, twirling and dancing like an ancient priestess entranced by her deity, charged by the monoliths. I am the goddess of Stennis. I bid glad tidings to all the little people. She looked at two, a young goddess, one with the land, dancing with the grace of a willow branch. Dance, Betty Lou, don't be a stick in the mud, dance with me. I shook my head no and raised my hand in protest, as she continued her undulating dance around the stones, ignoring me, forgetting the world as she abandoned herself to her strange ritual, and I had to wonder what ancient spirit of this place was moving my sister. And then I saw her shadow pass across the sun, the sea mither, graceful, free and happy to have emerged victorious from her spring struggle, the spirit of the island and the mother of the sea, teaching my baby sister her dance. I relaxed and watched Denise perform her strange primal dance without music, at least no music I could hear, bathed in the sunlight of the northern nights, her hair waving in a breeze which brought the smell of wildflowers and seawater deep inland. In the beginning was the wave, where sound built, was neither sand nor sea, nor cool little waves, earth was not, nor heaven above. The words of the poetic Edda raised the hairs on the back of my neck, the poem of creation. Every poem of creation starts with energy and thought. You want me, choice father, to give a good account of the most ancient tales, that which I remember best. Denise finally got tired and dropped on the meadow, laughing, while the bright morning sun made her hair golden. Betty, when are you going to give up on your princess? Aren't you a little old for fairy tales? Fairy tales, historical records, anthropology studies, they're all the same to you. Aren't they, Denise? Thank God the Institute doesn't see it that way. Yeah, but still, have you given it any thought? Say you find your unicorn, and that's a big if. What are you going to do after that? What was I going to do? I concurred, having to admit I kept avoiding a thorough study of the Cairn at Queen for this very reason. I don't want to find your bones, my fair princess. Maybe they sent you out to sea in a fiery boat. Maybe you were much older than that, and they laid you to rest in the cairns. I don't want to find you, because you were never dead to me. I reluctantly left my beautiful dream to return to the reasonable, grown-up world below. I had to hand it to Denise. She managed this wobbling between worlds a lot better than me. Look for a new project, I suppose. You are joking, right? You've seen this Viking girl in your dream since you were 8. A new project is not going to do it for you. It would be dead from the start and covered in dust. I get bored just thinking about it. Your Fiona kind of got to me. I will retire and move here permanently then, I joked, to be closer to my lady. That's more likely. Hey, can I come live with you? They have festivals here all summer. Maybe I'll learn a craft, that would be fun. How's winter?
Brutal.
We'll stay indoors. So, you want to join me here, in this magical land, so we can build our lives around the locks and the stones? Do you know what Dad would do to me for even thinking it? He still has hope for you. How's Chad? We broke up. I didn't want to come to the festival attached. You never know, right? That's the spirit, Denise. That's genuine commitment there. What? I'm too young for that. I want to see the world. Europe is just across the channel. Go see it. Not that world, sister. She suddenly grew serious. You know what I'm saying, right? You felt it too. She shuffled and regained her natural scatterbrained attitude. You know what? We should find that friend of yours. What was her name?
The hippie lady. Maggie.
I'll ask around. I don't think that's such a good idea, Denise, I cringed, reluctant to revisit the conversation about my alleged trip to the beyond, and what might have facilitated it. Of course it's a great idea, Hermit Crab. You will develop the semblance of a social life if I have to make one for you myself. You give me a headache with all the silence. What's wrong with talking to people, living people, I mean? I clumsily changed the subject. So, did you decide what you're going to do for the festival? I'm going to play in an allegory, you know, about the spring struggle, I think they call it? About the goddess of the island and her nemesis, Terran. That's what the decors were for. Neil says I'm a natural. Don't give me that look. I have many friends, unlike some people. Hey, I'm hungry. How long are we going to be here? You nagged me to bring you here the whole week. I thought we were going to do the Ring of Brodgar 2 during this trip. You got bored already? It never ceases to annoy me that Denise could eat all day long and stay thin as a reed. Every time I see the overflowing plate in front of her get polished, I wonder where she puts it all. Dancers consume a lot of calories, I suppose. Well, now I saw the stones and I'm starving. Besides, I bet I got a lot more from them than you did. I silently made a note she was definitely wrong, and she saw my ironic smile. The problem with people who've known you all your life is you can't get anything past them. Oh, something happened here. Ben, is that what you talked about with your lady friend? Spill. There is nothing to talk about, Denise. Just a feeling. Let's hear it. I was still reeling from the uncomfortable conversation I had with Maggie Patterson about my crossing the River Styx without being dead. The vision had made me feel like a freak, but also very special. Something about it commanded me to keep the experience to myself, out of respect for the genuine emotions I was entrusted with, the reality and tragedy of war and cruel times. The loss, the love, the agony. Our lives are inherently tragic. There is no shelter from the sorrow. Loss is baked into the nature of life itself. Don't imagine watching tragedy from very long ago is going to feel emotionally neutral, that you can place yourself behind the safe rampart of your present. Emotions are universal, recognizable and timeless. Iron Age grief feels exactly like your own. The ruler reddened weapons in the blood of evil people. The armies suffered the king's anger. Houses often collapse because of fires. What is that? Did I say that out loud? Well, you're scary weird. Yes, you were reciting Viking poetry to yourself. You should hear it declaimed in the original. For a moment I saw Jerun standing tall among the stones, reciting the verses in her harsh Norse language with throat singing, in a trance, arms stretched out to offer herself fully to the ritual. One of the universal gestures which make up the body of unspoken human communication, and one we understand instinctively and use without thinking, the human cross posture, the highest expression of ecstasy and devotion across every culture on earth. Who wrote that poem? That poem, sister, was written by Jerun, Fiona's teacher. I believe the two of you got acquainted. The woman poet in my dream?
Yep.